Okay, so we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your people. The calling of God upon an individual's life who sometimes we don't see who we are in Christ, and you continue to remind us of these precious thoughts that you have towards your people, and that we get to receive that freely, and that we get to abide in the calling that we were called. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for this new year. We even pray for our landlord with another space opening up within this building. So we want to thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. So 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 1, it tells us to be strong in the grace of God in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. Be strong, and that word is dunamo in the Greek, and it means an inward strength. This isn't something that is produced by our outward physical appearance of lifting weights. This is an inward quality that God puts within us. And the thing about that strength, it is only found in grace. God's strength is only found in grace. This is what he even told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that my grace is sufficient, and in your weakness I give you a supply of this never-ending strength inwardly. We don't need to walk around as weak in our thinking, weak believers, weak in our thought process, weak because we have different habits or situations that we're trying to, you know, get rid of in our life that hinders our walk sometimes. And God gives us this amazing dunamis strength. It comes from the same strength where God used his power to raise Christ from the dead. Found in grace, found in Christ. And then he says in verse 2 that I want you to continue to teach other people on what you received, or it says, on what you heard, teach others that same. Teach others the doctrine that you've heard. And this is why it makes it so important on being very careful what we hear. Don't be an open airway to receive everything that comes in and thinking it's from God. We must be very careful. Take heed what you hear. Luke 8:18. Be careful how you hear. Matthew 4:24. Be more ready to hear. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Draw near to hear. And then what we hear, we teach others that they may teach others. And then in verse 3, and I love this. This poor portion, because it says, endure hardness as a soldier. Endure hardness as a soldier, or a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness, endure, it never says that in our walk things are going to be going so easy all the time. But you are called to be a soldier. You are in a different army. Your walk should be different. You are called to be a soldier of Christ. And we do it as we endure hardship. The word hardship means, according to this passage, it's afflictions in the battle. If you're not having afflictions in the battle, check soldier ID card. Make sure you're properly enlisted. You have been drafted. You are not your own. You're a soldier of Christ. And these afflictions, they come within our battle. And they come from all areas and all angles. And then it says in verse 4 that there's a man, no man wars or warreth, King James, no man wars or entangles him or herself with the details of life. We are not to entangle ourselves with this world or this world system or all the projections that the world system pours upon us. Hey, they're coming, but I'm not going to be entangled in them. I'm not going to be wrapped around in that. The affairs, the affairs of this world, the affairs of this life. And there's many affairs in this life that try to entangle you. If you're entangled, how much mobility do you have? I mean, you're entangled and you're a soldier, but now, and this is why it says the soldier does not entangle himself. He's going to endure hardship, but he is not going to allow that to entangle his mind, his thinking, or his thought process. There's going to be many hardness, enduring hardships, the New King James says. This hardness that comes against the believer to get you to quit, to get you to stop, to get you to just forget about it all, throw it in. Court-martial me. I don't care. I'm done with this soldier stuff. I'm not playing this war game no more. And it is a war. It is a war. And there is two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And are we going to be entangled in the kingdom that we're not part of? Because that's the only thing that can entangle you, is the kingdom of darkness. So we move through many obstacles in life, and a lot of these obstacles cause great pain. They cause great pain in a believer's life. There's sin, there's sickness, There's rejection. You know, all these things start to come against us. Failure. Loss. We suffer great loss sometimes. Great rejection. Great pain. And it's part of these obstacles. And pain and joy coexist. We have great joy too. And it's like they mend together. They blend so perfectly. It's impossible for us to go even a day without having pain and joy together. Psalm 126, verse 5, says, "You will sow in tears, but you will reap in joy." Joy should not be not clear in our life. It should be very visible too. Just as visible as the pain is. But sometimes we reflect just on the pain. And a soldier learns to eliminate that in his life. I'm not going to be entangled in this. I'm choosing not to allow the pain to dictate my life. For with the believer, the Bible calls these snares. Snares of the enemy. Snares, traps. Traps that oppress the believer. And that's what it is. It's a trap. You ever see these bear traps or these fowl traps that are set? Once the trap is sprung, there is no more movement. You are caught. You are trapped. You are entangled. There's no more mobility. You're not going forward. You're not looking to Christ. You can only look at one area where the pain is coming from. We focus where the pain is. And right now it's on my foot. And I'm going to look at it. And I'm going to stare. I'm not looking to Christ. I'm looking where the trap is. So the snare has done its job. It's gotten the soldier entangled with life's details, life's affairs. And I can't think and focus on anything else. I'm now a useless soldier. Battle's going on. I'm now a casualty. I am a casualty. I'm not going forward with God's army. I'm caught in my snare. And this is what this whole meaning here is about. Because they limit the soldier. My ability has now been limited because I'm caught in a snare. Turn forward in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is an amazing chapter. You can read it all, but I'm only going to do one verse. This is a really incredible chapter. But look at verse 7. It says, I have fought the fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course or finished the race. I have kept the faith. Right? Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. And I have kept the faith. Mm-hmm. Three things that I have here. And what this means in the original means, I have means it's a completed action. Paul's speaking like it's already completed. It's completed with a continuous results that are behind it. And what it does is Paul is seeing his life as complete. Do you see your life as complete today? Do you see your life in the finished work? Do you see your life that way? Or do you see yourself in the snare? Do you see yourself trapped and caught? Do you see yourself where you're affected by the hindrances of life and you're entangled by everything that this life affairs brings to you? Are you entangled in all that? And I've told this before, but I mean, you know, me and my wife do a lot of walking, and you know, we're right down the middle of the street, and all of a sudden a spider web. I mean, where's this thing coming from? Right in the middle of the street, and it's all over our hair, and we're all entangled, and we're trying to. Do you like that feeling? I mean, you know that thing somewhere. That little bug is somewhere, and you're itching all the way after that, you know. And you're entangled, and it's preoccupied your thing. You can't even think of the walk. You can't even talk to each other. You've got one thing on your mind, getting untangled. Mm-hmm. And this is what life's affairs do to soldiers. Do to soldiers of Christ. I have kept the faith. I love that. And this is the end of his life. But this is so amazing how for us to be able to say that even now, I have kept the faith, because he's not saying I am keeping the faith. He says I have kept it.
Right.
He's speaking in the finished work content as being complete, because faith has been given to me by Christ. And faith is a gift. It's not mine to keep. It's given to me, so I have the ability to keep it. But to be able to make that statement, a couple things we must know To be able to keep the faith, we must learn what it means to recover.
Yes.
We must learn what it means to rebound, because we still are in this sin body and we're going to sin. And the hardest thing for believers to do is to recover quickly. I know people who have failed and I call them. I said, where you been? And he says, I'm really not doing good, Pat. I'm not walking good. You got to come. Satan's major distraction in warfare is to keep you away from Sundays.
Sure.
Number one. And Wednesdays, by the way. Thursdays, yeah.
Yeah.
Less word is possible.
Oh, yeah.
And then we struggle with all these life affairs. And we have no word within us to combat it. So we live in these snares, and these snares isolate the believer in their thinking, where God wants to restore them. And how does he restore us? He restores us by letting us know who we are in Christ. He restores us in our identity. Because now I know I'm a sinner, but I'm also saved by grace, and I'm a child of God. And all these things are going to come against me, but I'm a soldier of the Most High God. And I am not going to allow these things to entangle me, whether they be in my thinking or in my body, my mental state of mind, whatever. Where is that projection coming from? It is warfare. The enemy does not play fair. They're not going to say, oh, by the way, in about 5 feet to the left, I've planted a snare. Go walk in it. Okay. You know, but that's how we sometimes are. But it's not going to be that easy. It's not going to be laid out in that type of picture. So we endure hardness as a good soldier. As a good soldier. Proverbs 24:16 says, a righteous man falleth, seven times. Seven times the righteous falls. And whatever that fall could be. But he's still righteous. The fall does not make you unrighteous. The sin does not make you unrighteous. It's because Christ already paid for the sin. But he's falling. And he's falling. And he's going through obstacles of life. And he's going through struggles. And he's going through entanglement. And the word seven is an amazing number in the Bible. And it speaks of completion. God, 7 days, he completed everything. He said, this is good, yeah. But it also has that same word, seven, also has the same word in it that is used even for Sabbath, which is the day of rest. Same type of word. And here's a person that's falling and falling and falling. And seven times. He's failing or falling. And then at a period of time, he realizes that he's dead to that sin. That sin starts to get old. I keep falling in the same thing. Why do I keep doing this? As how it's written in Romans 7. But Paul also got victory over that when he realized, thank be to God, thanks be to Christ. And say, it's the same thing with a person that falls seven times. And it's not about the fall. We want to make it about the fall. We want to make it about the obstacle. We want to make it about our struggle in life. But it's not about that. In Proverbs 24:16, it's not about him falling. It's about that he rose up again. Yeah. And we look at the fall. But every single time he rose back up. He got back up. He knew what God was to him. Because God will forgive us. And rising back up, even though that person does die to sin, resurrection life rises him back up. And our victory is in the resurrection, not in the falling. Our victory is in the resurrection, never in the falling. Our victory is in is a soldier of God, not being entangled with the affairs of this life. Hey, the pain's there. We know it's there. But rejoice in the victory. Rejoice in the joy. Fellowship with what God's doing, not what you failed to do. So, let me talk about... there's a... how many know Winston Churchill? Right? An amazing... And Winston Churchill had a hard time, I think it was in the fifth grade, of passing and getting through school. And his problem was English, believe it or not. And... But upon that and finishing that, he was asked to do a commencement at Oxford University, a prestigious college, university. And he spoke there and he came and he, and there's two different interpretations of what was really said. So I'm going to use both because to me they're both amazing. But he took out his cigar and put it on the podium, took off his hat, put it on the podium, took his cane and set it on the podium, and leaned in to his audience, looking over him, and they're intently listening. The one of the greatest masterminds of World War II, and he says, "Never give up." Wow. And he just went back and sat down. Never give up. Now, another interpretation of that is just as good. It says never give in. So whatever you want to use, never give up, never give in. And he sat back down. And it was quiet. And he gets back up. And he goes up to the podium. Takes his hat, puts it on his head. Takes a cigar, puts it in his hand, picks up his cane, leans in, and says, "Never give in," and or "Never give up." Amazing words, and walked off. That was it. You know, because it's so easy for us to give up, and this is what our message is for this year. Don't give up. You are a soldier. A soldier being very, very equipped for this battle. God does not send you into war unequipped. You have all the armor of God that you need in Ephesians chapter 6. And obstacles of life are going to come your way like even a flood. But you are a child of God and you're in His army. So we never, ever give up. It's so easy to give up. It really is so easy to give up. And you can do a list of things why I should give up. But we need to learn who we are in Christ. We need to continue to hear Him tell me that He loves me with an everlasting love. So we never give up. Number two, we never give in. We never give in. This becomes our struggle. This becomes our struggle when we give in to the enemy, when we give in to the details of life, when we give in to those obstacles, when we give in to that snare that has caught us and trapped us and made us immobile, where we can't even move, we can't even look to God. That's why Moses said, "Lift up your eyes and look to the cross, and you will be healed." Mm-hmm. We can't even do that if we're immobile. Right. We can't even do that when we're in a snare because the pains of life are too deep. Mm. And there are some pains in our life that are so deep. But you know how deep they are? They're only as deep as a shallow grave. They're not deep. That's not God. That's the enemy saying, get in, let me cover you up with dirt. Just give up. Just give in. Easy things to do. Quitting and stopping. Churchill could have quit. Nobody wanted him in Parliament. None of them wanted to run that country. And he did everything in World War II to deliver. And so he lives by those words. Never give up or never give in. So we never give in to the lies of the enemy, because that's all they are, is lies. We never give in to our flesh. We never give in to the old sin nature. We don't give in to those things. You're a child of God. Put those things away. Every weight that beseech you, it says, it wears you down. A soldier does not go into battle with weight on him. It's too heavy. Get rid of that weight. Make it light. Know who you are in Christ. You are a child of God. You are a daughter and a son. You're a soldier in God's army. So we never give in. We never give in to the things of the flesh. We never give in to the things of the world or the world system or anything that it tries to promote. We think differently. We are in battle, and we don't entangle ourselves with the things of this world. And then one last thing too. So we don't give in, we don't give up, and we keep going. Don't give in, don't give up, keep going. Don't give in, don't give up, keep going. Say it to your neighbor. Don't give in, don't give up, keep going. Keep going, keep going with Christ. Don't give in, don't give up, don't give up. These things, these snares, these obstacles are temporary devices. And you know what? They've already been disarmed. They've already been disarmed. You know, a lot of us, you know what we do? We're like in the army, we're like the guys that go, you know, find the bombs. You ever see these guys? How'd you like that job? You know, with the metal detectors looking for the bombs? But the only problem is we're walking backwards. And we're blowing ourselves up. You know, we're going the wrong way. All those bombs have been detonated. They have no purpose in our life. Satan is a roaring, toothless lion. He's nothing. It's nothing. So don't give in. Don't give up. And keep going. We got to keep going. Pastor Shell, in closing, preached an amazing message last week. And he talked about that, you know, as being a child of God, the greatest thing and what separates us from the world is not that we're perfect. And there's so many people think that the Christian is perfect, you know. But what's the difference is what makes up our core. And our core is where Christ lives in. Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. You are an ambassador. You are a child of God. You are righteous. You are holy. You have been set apart.
Yes.
Don't look in the mirror because you might not see that stuff.
All right.
Just pick up the book and believe what the book says about you. The word of God tells you who you are. The world don't dictate who I am. God's word tells me who I am. This is all I need, is what's in this book, what's written here. This is enough. We don't need anything else. We don't need anything else but God speaking to us through his word. This is what encourages the soldier to go forward. This is why, like Cindy said, this is why we go outreach.
Yes.
This is why we evangelize. This is why we'll knock on doors.
Amen.
This is why we go to drug rehab centers and homes. This is why we're considering going to assisted living facilities. The love of Christ compels you.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
And that allows me to go on. We go on with Christ. We go on with him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to teach you. I don't need to teach you how to speak negative. By the way, I don't need to teach you how to complain. You're very good at it. I mean, most of us are experts. I mean, we'll talk all kinds of garbage. But we don't need any of that stuff in our thought process. The transformation of the mind in Romans 12:2 tied in with repentance is a class on rethinking.
Yeah.
We must learn to rethink. Not the way we've been brought up, not even the way we've been taught. You know, let the Holy Spirit be fresh. I can't live on yesterday's teachings. I can't live on yesterday's manna. It must be new and fresh every morning. And it is, thank God. And because God is faithful. And He is going to equip you as a soldier in His army. You're not going out there unequipped. You are prepared. You are prepared in warfare. So don't give in. Don't give up. And keep going. Amen?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord. We thank You for the Word of God. We understand, Lord, that with this life, there's much pain. There's a lot of pain in this world. A lot of people looking for answers because of that pain. A lot of people going in wrong directions, being led by pain. And we thank You for the joy that You've given us. We thank You for the Word and this message that it's just not a good pep talk, but it's words of life that dwell within us eternally. If there's somebody here that has never accepted Christ, then this is your invitation.
Yes.
That Jesus Christ died for your sins, past, present, and future, that you may have life.
Yes.
Eternal. And if you're dealing with great pains and struggles, and we do, just a reminder that Jesus Christ will never leave you. He'll never forsake you, and He goes with you. He goes with you. And you have the body of Christ that's praying for you. You have those amazing prayer warriors within the church that are praying on behalf of you. What a privilege is to take to everything to God in prayer. All of our prayers and supplications, we make them known unto God. We just pray now also for the offering, for the needs of this body. We pray for our upcoming missionary trips. We pray for the wrap next door.
Thank you.
And it's going to be an amazing time. So if you can stay a little bit and have some food with us and coffee. You are so, so welcome. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.